Good morning, church. We all right? I love how when I read my Bible, right? I love how in my studies I'm starting to see so many connections, right? And in my studies, it's just not. How do I say this? The best example I can give is I'm walking with some folks who really just take the New Testament, right? And that's all they read. I like that Jesus. I like that God. The New Testament, right? But as I read the New Testament, and if we take passages like this morning's, right, Acts chapter 2, we might look at that and go, what is going on, right? What is going on? And so what I've come to love is that, you know, just the Bible in its entirety, that you can't just take one bit without the other. You can't just have the New Testament without the Old. No, you must take it in its entirety. Because when you start reading it from cover to cover, when you start reading it to understand what's actually the Bible is sharing with us, what wisdom the Bible is giving us as we read and study it for ourselves, we'll see that the picture gets more clear and clear, that there are connections here that are just bring to life, not just through the power of the Holy Spirit, but in our understanding, bring to life the words of the Bible. And again, like today, oftentimes we can look at this passage and just go, what is going on, right? But when we look at it, we can, in light of all of Scripture, especially the Old Testament, we'll see this come to life. So Pentecost, what is Pentecost? A lot of us have probably grown up in the church and we heard Pentecost. We already know this. And so if that's you, enjoy this brief refresher. But if you don't know what Pentecost is, Pentecost happens 50 days after Passover, or as Christians celebrate, 50 days after the resurrection, after Easter. Christians also celebrate Pentecost as the beginning of the church, the birth of the church, and this new movement, right? This new movement of Christ followers, this community of believers who are dedicating themselves to Jesus' teachings to transform the world. Pentecost is it's a major Jewish harvest. I almost said fiesta. It's a party. I've been doing too much Duolingo. It's a fiesta, right? It's also known as Feast of Weeks, excuse me. And during this time, Israelites from all over the world that have been scattered throughout the nations come to Jerusalem to celebrate in God's presence together and give thanks and celebrate and feast in memory of Israel's deliverance from Egypt, deliverance from slavery. They come together and just celebrate. It's a party. I'm all about that, right? And this is the Feast of Weeks, and Pentecost is one of three major festivals that brings Israelites from all over to Jerusalem for the celebration, but today we're focusing on Pentecost. But what we see in today's story, again, and this can all be laid out, and if you read, go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, you can read more about the feasts and Pentecost and what it's all about. But here in today's passage, we see Peter bringing it to fulfillment, right? You have people who are simply reading, who know and have studied and memorized and live by the Old Testament, the law of Moses. And here we see that Peter and what he's preaching is bringing it all to fulfillment. He's putting it all out there. He is connecting the dots for all of these listeners to hear and to know and to validate the lordship of Jesus as the Messiah. This is the anointed one. He is the one who is promised by God, who will establish his kingdom, who will bring true justice and peace, and will reign forever. This is who they were waiting for. And as we see that as they hear this, those who are gathered, they are cut to the heart. And 3,000 received the good news of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. And then the rest of the book of Acts develops this world-transforming movement, right? These people who will change the world, and it all starts here at Pentecost. You know, as Brian was reading, you know, we hear this message and we see that 3,000 people came to know Jesus. And I said, well, what else can I add to this? And you just go home, right? But today I thought, you know, as it is a celebration, I thought we'd focus just simply and briefly just three reasons for us to celebrate. Why we celebrate Pentecost. And the first reason is that we can see God's presence experienced. It's God's presence experienced. So here we see a mentioning of fire, right? And divided tongues as of a fire appeared to them and rested on each and every one of them. Again, what I love about this is that you got to take it in context of what the Old Testament is talking about. When we look here, we see fire, right? And I love what Luke is doing here. Because what Luke is doing is he's pointing us. When we see fire resting upon, when we hear this language, when we see this imagery, it ought to be pointing us back. It ought to be reminding us that fire was often a representation of God's presence with his people, dwelling and his dwelling place. When we look to the Old Testament, we see in Exodus chapter 3, we see the burning bush where God speaks to Moses, right? Through a burning bush and tells him that take off your sandals because where you're on, it's holy ground. It's implying that this is a temple. This is a place of worship, a place where you encounter God. And then God promises to empower Moses, right? To help him set free his people in Israel under the oppression and slavery of the Egyptians. Then we fast forward this story and we see Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, where the mountain catches on fire. It doesn't catch on fire. God comes down in fire and lightning and wind and, earth, wind, and fire. No, we won't go there. But it's fire. And this reaction, it amazes people. It confuses people. It brings people to the point of panic and fear. But God assures them that he is partnering with them for their good. He's not here to harm them or hurt them. No, he's here to make a covenant with them. And through these people, God will bless the nations. God will use them in his plan of redemptive history. Fast forward to Exodus chapter 40, and here we see the tabernacle is set up on this very mountain. And when they dedicate the tabernacle to the Lord, God shows up in a column of fire. Again, the fire signals God's presence and marks this space as his dwelling place. And we see the very similar thing in the temple in 1 Kings. It's where God dwells. This is the sign that God is with his people. And so now when we come back to Acts chapter 2 and we see these tongues of fire resting on his people, we should be remembering the bush. We should be remembering Mount Sinai. We should be remembering the tabernacle and the temple when God's presence arrived and marked his dwelling place. This divine fire that rested with God's people now resides in his living temple. His living temple that's made up of unexpected men and women. People who are rejected, people who are outcast, people who are uneducated, people who you would not think to receive good news from. God is going to use these people. And it's through these people that, and people will no longer meet with God on a mountaintop. They won't meet with God in ornate buildings, but they will meet with God in connection with those who trust and follow Jesus. 1 Peter says that we are living stones being built, building up the house of the Lord. And this is what we're talking about. Where people used to, right, I forget his name. Andy Moorcock came and spoke about the woman at the well, right? And they had that dialogue about where they worship God in the temple. And Jesus was already foreshadowing to this, that his living temple is where people would encounter him, in connection and in community with them. This is amazing. This is a reason for us to celebrate. But another reason to celebrate is that he is with us. So Acts chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus, after he is brought back to life from the dead, he meets with his disciples for 40 days, and he teaches them through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And he's preparing them. He's equipping them for what he plans for them to do. But shortly after that, after the 40 days, he ascends into heaven. And so you can kind of see this roller coaster of emotions that the disciples are going through, right? Oh, here's the Messiah. Oh, he's died. Oh, he's back to life. Amazing, amazing. Oh, he's going away, right? You can see this roller coaster of emotions, but Jesus himself says in John chapter 16 that it's actually for their advantage that he goes away. For if I do not go away, he says again in John chapter 16, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. We prayed earlier this morning, and someone so beautifully prayed that we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, that we are empowered. Because Jesus' work did not end. Jesus' work here on earth didn't end when he ascended into heaven, but it continues through this Spirit-indwelt church. Yes, us individually, but also us as a church. That's what we're being built up for. And that's why now we can take courage when we share our faith, when we live out this new lifestyle that many will reject, that many will hate, that we can take courage because we know, again, Jesus is true to his words and his promises when he says, "Behold, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age," in his great commission. So we can celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate because God's presence is experienced. Oh, here we go. Secondly, we can celebrate because God's plan is fulfilled. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Again, I love how Luke structures the book of Acts because it follows this structure and Jesus' words. Right? It follows what he says. And every time we see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's introducing the next chapter, right? Not the human-made chapters, but the next chapter in God's plan fulfilled. In Acts 2 through 7, we see Jerusalem. Right? This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the other disciples where they're proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ in all these different languages. Then we see in Judea and Samaria, Acts chapter 8 through 13. And then, oh, copy-paste accident. That should be to the ends of the earth. Chapter 13 through 28. But a beautiful thing is this, that the book of Acts, and what I love about it, is that there is no conclusion. The story just ends. And it doesn't even end in how we wanted it to end. We are hoping Paul would go before the emperor and proclaim the good news. But it doesn't even get there. We don't even see that conclusion. But I believe Luke leaves that open because he says the story is not done. The work is not finished. And how amazing is it that we here today, thousands of years later, get to participate in the same work that our early brothers and sisters, thousands of years ago, were a part of. We are a result of the Pentecost, the events of Pentecost. Incredible, is it not? That this good news has lasted through the ages, where people have tried to snuff out this flame and fire, where they tried to end it. They could not, because they can't stop God, right? And it has reached the end of the earth, but the harvest is still plenty. There's still work that needs to be done. So brothers and sisters, we celebrate because God's plan is fulfilled, but we also celebrate. Lastly, we celebrate because our purpose is realized. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, there's one phrase, and we talked about it early this year, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." As believers, we recognize that as we live in community, our purpose is to bring God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. That we are called to live transformed lives, radical lives, filled with generosity and love and compassion. That we are to be living in obedience to God's word, but we are to be sources of life and blessing wherever we go. Or when people come here within our church, within this building, are they encountering the risen Jesus? Are they experiencing this generosity? Are they experiencing this love and this graciousness? He has called us to live for so much more. He has called us to live through God's wisdom, so that there may be a difference in knowing that God's kingdom does not work in the way that the earthly kingdoms do. That it's actually flipped upside down. And what the world might see as wise and successful is not what God deems as wise and successful. We're called to live a transformed life. And lastly, and before we go into communion, lastly, our purpose is realized because what we are called to do, or what we, it's a calling, but also our reward, our inheritance. It's also what we look forward to, the hope that we have, right? That we, what we live for. Pentecost and our life, it all points to the full and final restoration of this world. You know, when we looked at Peter's message, we see in Peter's message that he quotes from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 31. And Joel prophesies about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But if we look at that full prophecy, that full chapter, we'll see that actually what comes directly before this prophecy of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we see a promise of restoration. God says, "I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. And my people shall never again be put to shame." Brothers and sisters, in the resurrection, we celebrate that Jesus' reign is secure and it's eternal. Yet, we wait for its fullest expression on earth when he returns and makes new the new heavens and the new earth. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8 that creation longs for this restoration. and that even we ourselves long for our glorified bodies. Some of our brothers and sisters are already worshiping in the presence of the Lord and have run their race. But this is what we look for in our hope. This is what we hope in. It's so easy in this world to lose hope. We look all around the world and we hear of wars. We witness wars and mass killings. We see injustice. We see starvation. We see poverty. We see all of these symptoms of a broken and sinful world. And when you look at that and you just, how can you go on? What's the point in all of this? Some would say there is no point, that's just life. That is not what Jesus says. That is not what our Bible says. That is not what the events at Pentecost say. What it says is that we look forward to this day when Jesus returns to bring true justice. Where Jesus returns and he will make right all that has been wronged. He will fix everything that has been broken. This is what we can hope for. This is what we live for. And we can look at that and go, okay, well, we'll just wait for that. We'll just wait for it. I got my ticket. I believe in Jesus. I'm just going to ride this wave until he returns. But no, this hope isn't a passive hope. It activates us. It empowers us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are empowered to bring and allow people in this hopeless and broken world to taste and see that the Lord is good. To see that what we hope in is truly good and worth living for. And so in our current moment, my question to us is, what are we living for? And are we seeing that in our life? Are we seeing it in our places of work? Are we seeing it within our families? Do people look at us and go, there is something about that person that every time I'm around them, I feel at peace. That every time I'm around that person, that they are so generous and gracious and loving and forgiving. Every time I see this person or every time I go to that church, that I am experiencing and meeting and getting a taste of who the one true God is. That is why we celebrate Pentecost. That is why we celebrate today, because we see that everything, we see our purpose realized, we see God's plan fulfilled, and we see God's presence experienced. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you this morning. I know life is hitting some of us real hard, but place your hope in Jesus and look to see how he might use you, even in your dire circumstances, to bring transformation into this world.